Hello and welcome to the Crisis Point Podcast. I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. So before I get started on today's program, I just want to remind people to like and subscribe to the podcast. That lets other people know about it. And honestly, when I talk about topics like I am today, I have to imagine that we'll at least get shadow banned, if not banned, from some platforms. So go ahead and like and subscribe. That'll let our big tech overlords know what we're talking about and shut us down. But we have ways around them, so don't worry about it. So go ahead and like and subscribe either wherever you watch or listen to this podcast. Okay, so today I want to talk about something I don't really want to talk about again. To be honest, I very much don't like talking about topics more than once. And I've already talked about COVID. I've already talked about the COVID vaccine. I've talked about subjects related to COVID before. I've written about it. Crisis Magazine has published articles about it. But the fact remains that it's COVID and the response to COVID is the great crisis of our time. So we can't really be Crisis Magazine if we don't talk about COVID and all the very many aspects of how to respond to it and how the world responded to it, how the church has responded to it, and how we should respond to it. So we're going to talk about COVID again. And we just have to acknowledge that COVID has had a tremendously negative impact on every single one of us. Obviously, the virus itself, people have gotten sick. People have died from it. We don't really know how many have died from it. I mean, the numbers are just completely almost useless at this point. But the fact of the matter is that people have died from it. I had COVID. I got sick for a few days. This is months ago now. Got sick for a few days, couldn't smell or taste for a long time. But you know, basically I got over it, but some people haven't been so lucky. I know people directly who have been hospitalized with it, and have had worse reactions than I did. But beyond the virus itself, it's had a negative impact on everybody. Even if you haven't gotten the virus, even somebody you don't know has gotten it seriously, because of course we had the lockdowns. We have the fact that people have lost their businesses, the psychological harm with the mask mandates and everything related to that. There's been increased depression, increased suicides, everything related to the response. There's been a restriction of freedom. Obviously, people are beginning to potentially lose their jobs because of various mandates and rules related to COVID. And so it's the great crisis of our time. It touches every single one of us. And so what I want to look at today is what has the church done, the Catholic Church, particularly in her leaders, bishops and priests, what has she done in response to this great crisis of our time? Because after all, one of the reasons, purposes of the Catholic Church is to be salt and light in the world, which we'll talk about later. And so how has the church been the salt and light in the world during this time of great crisis, during the COVID tide, as I like to call it? Now, before I get into that directly, I titled this episode, "The Catholic Church Has Capitulated to the COVID Regime." I should make very clear first, so what do I mean by the COVID regime? Now, one thing I don't mean is I don't mean a single political entity. Often when you hear the term regime, you're thinking of like the Nazi regime or the Soviet regime or something like that. You're talking about a single political entity, a single political state that is ruling over some area. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is the totalitarian response to COVID. When I talk about the COVID regime, I mean the totalitarian response to COVID by everybody that has been involved with it. So it does mean governments, but governments worldwide, not just the United States or Canada or Australia or a country in Europe or anything like that, but governments worldwide, but also the big tech response to it. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if this video itself gets kicked off YouTube or at the very least shadow banned so people don't see it. So I would just encourage you all to share it just to spite them. But that's part of the totalitarian response to COVID. Now, some people might say you're being a little hyperbolic when you call it totalitarian. Is it really totalitarian? Because when we think of totalitarian, we think of 1984. We think of Nazi Germany. We think of the Soviet Union. But totalitarian isn't an on-off switch. It's not like all of a sudden you're either 100% totalitarian or you're 0% totalitarian. And there is no question, I don't see how anybody can dispute, that we are today more totalitarian. We live in under a more totalitarian regime than we did 18 months ago. At the beginning of March 2020, I don't think any of us could have guessed what would be happening over the next 18 months or the next year and a half, and the various ways in which governments has responded to COVID. It has been just far, far more totalitarian than anything that most of us in the free world have experienced. Obviously, if you live in China, perhaps not much has changed because you already lived under a totalitarian government. But for those of us in the free world, as it's called, in America and Europe, other developed countries, this is far more totalitarian than we've ever lived under. And we see this in various ways. We see this obviously in the lockdowns. In America, the lockdowns that happened started in March, and they started to end in a lot of places in May and June of 2020. That's not the case, though, in a lot of different places around the world. I mean, you literally have tanks in the streets of Australia in response to COVID. I'm not making it up. Look it up. There are literally tanks in the streets of Australia. In New Zealand, I think it's New Zealand. I might get this one wrong. I hope not. In New Zealand, because of a single case, they went into super lockdown, and the head of the state is telling people, don't talk to your neighbors. Don't be around anybody other than your family at your house. Don't even be around your family that they don't live at your house. And so those lockdowns are still happening this September 2021. In Canada, I know they still have a lot of restrictions. A friend of mine, his son is being confirmed. I saw him post on Facebook about how basically nobody can go to the confirmation, and they're not even doing a full mass. They're just doing a confirmation service and due to all the restrictions and what have you. So lockdowns are still happening. But it's not just lockdowns. It's how the elderly have been treated. They have been shut away from their family, from loved ones. I mean, there are elderly people, if they've survived this, who haven't gotten a hug from a family member in 18 months. And that's just a tragedy. That's a tragedy. There are children who are forced to mask. This is ridiculous how often this is. In fact, I can't believe how often I go out in public. I don't see too much where I live, but when I go out somewhere where I, a little bit further away, I see kids in masks out in public. And sometimes not even their parents will be masked. But like these kids have been so ingrained that they have to wear masks. I assume it's because they can't get vaccinated. And so their parents are think they need to wear masks, and they'll be out in a park or something like that wearing masks. And it's just, it's awful. And of course, schools are forcing masks, just terrible things like that. Prisoners, here's another aspect of it. Prisoners can't get visitors in a lot of places. Here where I live, the jails are still shut down, no visitors. And that means no visitors includes priests as well. So priests can't go in and administer the sacraments. They can't hear confessions. So there are people in jail who may want to go to confession who haven't been able to in the past 18 months because of COVID. And now, of course, we have the biggest thing lately is the vaccine mandates. We have the vaccine being pushed, the mandates, people are being threatened to lose their job if they don't get the vaccine. And so we see this growing. This is becoming more and more the case. I don't know how many people have reached out to me because of the fact that they are threatened with their job or with being a student at a university because they don't, or a faculty at a university because they don't have the vaccine, and it's being mandated now. And they're being told you either get it or you get fired or you can no longer be a student at the school. And of course, that also has led to the unvaccinated being treated as second-class citizens. In any totalitarian regime, you have to have an enemy. You have to have an enemy that you point out and you make the enemy so that people will rally around the totalitarian regime. This is classic. This is always the case. If there is no enemy to fight, then the people in power don't have power to do what they want to do. I mean, just read 1984. You see that how there's always an enemy. It might change every day, but there's only an enemy. The enemy has now become the unvaccinated. They're blaming everything on the unvaccinated now. And that's the enemy. And that justifies then the totalitarian regime that you have to do these various things because of the unvaccinated. Now, and here's the thing, and I'll just say it. This is all for a virus that's not much worse than the flu. Now, the funny thing is if you said that back in March of 2020, you were just attacked, you were shut down, you were canceled. Everybody thought you were the biggest loser in the world. You were unscientific and everything of that nature. The funny thing is that they're not doing that anymore because it's essentially true. If you look at the numbers, if you look at the fatality rate of people, even the given fatality rate, which I don't believe, because I think there's a really good chance a lot of people who go to hospitals and die, who are going to hospital for another reason, but they're tested and found positive, are called a COVID death. So I don't even think the fatality rate is as high as they say it is. But nonetheless, even the given official COVID fatality rate, another reason why it's not as high is probably because I think a lot more people have COVID than they've tested. I had COVID, for example, I was never tested. So I'm a COVID case that was never tested. So I think the number of people who've had COVID is higher than they say, and the number of people who've died from COVID is lower than they say. But even if that's not the case, the fatality rate is so low, this is not much worse than the flu. And we've done all of this in the name of a virus that's not much worse than the flu. And so that is the COVID regime I'm talking about. That is what I'm saying when I talk about the COVID regime, the totalitarian response to a virus that's not much worse than the flu. Might not even be worse. I was just hearing today where some numbers have come out that show that perhaps the fatality rate is even lower than a regular flu. So what has been the response of the Catholic Church to this regime, this totalitarian regime? We've seen at different times in history that Catholic leaders have risen up and fought against totalitarian regimes. Sometimes they haven't done it, though. So if you look at Nazi Germany, if you look at the Soviet Union, you see some people resist, some people don't. So what has been the response? Well, in a word, it's been pathetic. The response of Catholic leaders to this, the totalitarian regime, COVID regime, has been pathetic. There's been no resistance whatsoever to speak of. You have a handful, a Bishop Schneider, for example, and a few others, and maybe a few priests. But in general, our bishops and priests have been asleep at the wheel, that they've essentially offered platitudes. I mean, think about it. How many places have had actual homilies at parishes or episcopal statements that have strongly opposed, in word and in action, have strongly opposed the COVID regime? I mean, they're few and far between. And when it does happen, they get canceled. I mean, one of the reasons Father James Altman was canceled by his bishop is because he spoke against the COVID regime. I know there was other reasons, so I don't want to say it was only for that reason. But I bet you if that was the only thing he'd done, he still would have been canceled. He spoke against the COVID regime. They've been no real help. Our Catholic leaders have been no real help in fighting against the COVID regime. It's never even mentioned. In fact, the negative aspects of the response to COVID haven't even been mentioned in homilies or episcopal statements around the world. And in fact, these measures have been embraced by many church leaders all the way up to the top, to the Pope himself. And so from the beginning, Catholic leaders have shown a complete and utter acceptance of everything told to them by the state and by the media. They have not stood up to it, and they have not challenged it. That's been their response. And let's kind of go through the response in detail. That's kind of the overview. Let's go through the response. Well, let me show you something for those who are watching. Those who aren't, you'll just have to imagine your head. My famous map, yes, I'll call my own map famous, that I put on Twitter back in March of 2020. There it is for those who can see it. And that is a black United States, all black, because each diocese, what I did was for a few days in the middle of March 2020, it was a span of about, I think, 4 days, I would have a map of the diocese of the United States listed. And then whenever a diocese said that we're shutting down mass, I made that one black. And then eventually the whole country became black. I think this one's, let me look at this. This is dated March 18th, 2020. Every single publicly celebrated mass was canceled in the United States of America. That was the initial response to COVID. Not one bishop in America said we can still have mass. Maybe we'll find some creative way to do it. Maybe we'll just say, screw what the state says, we're going to do it anyway. Every single one. And actually, that's something that reminds me. It's not even that every state forced them to shut down masses. Here in Ohio, for example, the governor did not force religious services to stop. He basically suggested it and hoped for it. But they basically, what they did was they shut it down anyway. They caved to the pressure the suggestion that, oh, you're not doing your part. You're not doing your part for the common good. And they shut down the masses. That was the initial response. And since then, they've accepted all restrictions basically on religious activity. Yes, there's been a few bishops who have said, we don't like this. We don't want to do this. But I don't know of any who have actually challenged it and done otherwise. I do think, like in Wisconsin, I remember, the bishops there said, we're going to have mass. This was in May, I think, of 2020. So we're going to have mass anyway, public mass. We're going to resume them, even though the government's saying, you really can't. And the governor caved. But that's a great example of how what the churches should have done, what the bishops should have done, because it worked, because the state actually caved when the church stood strong, when the bishops had some backbone, the politicians caved. And of course, then it came to accept all the restrictions of religious liberty. And of course, I don't know of one bishop who has not completely embraced masks whenever they're mandated. When they said you have to have masks indoors, they said, okay, you have to have masks to have mass. To attend mass, you have to have mask. Like every bishop basically allowed that. However, we all know now masks are a joke. Well, we should know now. If you look at any graph of a state and that had mask mandates, when they started, when they ended, when they continued, you will see no relationship between that and COVID cases. It just simply, they don't do anything. Yet, not one bishop was willing to say, hey, let's look at some alternative data. Let's look at the actual data, I should say, rather than what the media and the state are pushing upon us with their panic porn. Let's actually look and see what's happening and say, you know, these mask mandates are stupid. They don't do anything. We're not going to require masks in order to receive our Lord, body, soul, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We're not going to require masks in order to receive the healing forgiveness of Christ in confession or be baptized or anything of that nature. But no, they just said, we're going to do mass. Now, I do know there are parishes that did not enforce this, which God bless them. And I think those parishes have grown considerably in the last year because right-thinking Catholics realize you don't want to go to a parish that puts things like mass mandates over the sacraments. And now, of course, so we started with the lockdown, shutting down masses. We've embraced all the social distancing and mask mandates, the silly season of getting rid of holy water fonts when there was actually no medical evidence whatsoever that does anything to spread or prevent COVID. We've done all that. And now, of course, we have the vaccine mandates. Now, back in 2005, before COVID, before there was a COVID regime, the church actually spoke on vaccines that were tainted by abortion. Because let's remember, all available COVID vaccines, at least in America and in most countries, are tainted by abortion, i.e. they've either been developed or tested with using aborted fetal stem cell lines, which means they wouldn't exist without that. They were created with that. Well, back in 2005, the Pontifical Academy for Life, under the direction of the Congregation for Doctrine and Faith, Cardinal Ratzinger, said, there's a grave responsibility to use alternative vaccines and to make a conscientious objection with regard to those which have moral problems, meaning we need to resist abortion-tainted vaccines if at all possible. Yes, it also said that a Catholic can receive an abortion-tainted vaccine if there's proportional reason, if there's a grave reason to do so. But we've already seen that there's not a grave reason to do so when it comes to COVID. Yet, we've completely capitulated. The church today has completely capitulated and allowed it, even though back in 2005, we were pushing against it. And this is an important point. Because if you look at the 2020 CDF statement on specifically COVID vaccines, you see it tones down the language of the Pontifical Academy for Life. It tones down that 2005 language because now it's influenced by the COVID regime. You see that, for example, it says at the beginning that the vaccine that is used against COVID, many of them, in the course of research and production, employed cell lines drawn from tissue obtained from two abortions that occurred in the last century. My wife mentioned an article today at Crisis. That language is like, oh, it just happened in the last century, so long ago. And she mentioned, so if we use research on dead Jews from the Holocaust, that's just from last century. It doesn't matter anymore. And so, Oh, one correction I want to make. Somebody made a comment. Thank you. That it was not the Wisconsin bishops that resisted the governor's mandate in May 2020. It was the Minnesota bishops. So I take that back. It wasn't Wisconsin. It was Minnesota. Thank you for the person who brought that up. Okay. So, but the point, let's get back to the CDF statement. So the December 2020 statement, it tries to diminish the connection to abortion with the COVID vaccines. And it also goes beyond what the church is competent to say. The church is competent to say whether or not it's moral or not to receive such a vaccine in certain circumstances. And it lays out the principles when it can be moral to do so, or at least not a grave matter. However, it can't say every time those principles apply. So for example, there's different factors involved. What is your age? What is your health? Where do you live? Is there an outbreak? What are the different factors involved about, will you lose your job? All these different things are all part of it. And of course, the CDF can't answer that for everybody. Yet they do suggest that everybody should get it. They basically say COVID is bad enough. It's like basically they say, people should do all they can if they don't receive the vaccine from becoming vehicles for the transmission of infectious agents. They must avoid any risk to the health of those who cannot be vaccinated for medical or other reasons and who are the most vulnerable. They're making and they say more than that, but they're making these medical statements about the need to receive the COVID vaccine. And so I think that's the influence of the COVID regime. See, back in 2005, it wasn't a political issue, and it was much more a issue that was it didn't have a totalitarian regime pressing down upon them. So they could be more objective. They could say, yeah, we should resist this at all possible. But now, however, when there is a regime pushing against us, the CDF caved some. They didn't cave completely because they did say the vaccine mandates are not, vaccines should always be voluntary. They did note that it is remote cooperation with evil, but they were much more open to it than they had been before. And so that's a real issue there that you can see how the COVID regime has impacted it. And then it's gotten worse though. Okay, here's an example I'll show on the screen for those who are watching. This is from Bishop Rick Stitka, who is the Bishop of Knoxville. And he tweeted back on August 23rd, "So we pray for God's help during the pandemic, and God, through science, gives us a gift, a vaccine. Seems like an answer." Contrast that with the language of the Pontifical Academy of Life from back in 2005 that talked about the grave evil of any vaccine that's tainted with abortion, that's connected to and developed through use of abortion, an aborted baby. And here we have a bishop of the Catholic Church in 2021 saying that an abortion-tainted vaccine is an answer to prayer that God gave us in an abortion-tainted vaccine. I mean, that just shows how far we've gone. And we have photo ops of bishops getting the vaccine. We have a photo op of a photo op of the Pope getting a vaccine. I know we have many bishops who have been proudly shown their sleeves raised up with somebody sticking them with a pen saying, "I got the vaccine, you should too." They've been pushing it. We've even had bishops who have mandated it for their employees and for their clerics, such as Supich in Chicago. And I know some others have done the same. And there's been no outreach whatsoever to anybody who's dared to resist this. That's one thing church leaders have been asleep. They're supposed to be shepherds of the entire flock. But yet any of the flock who's saying, "Hey, I don't want to get the vaccine for this reason or that reason," they're just saying, "Sorry, we don't shepherd you. We don't shepherd the sheep who don't do exactly what we say. If you go a little bit astray, okay, you're lost then. You're gone." And so they're unwilling to listen to anybody, any of their sheep who might not want to get the vaccine. And like, there have been bishops who have ordered their priests in New York. Where else? I'm blanking right now. New York and some other places. I know a number of places. I think Chicago and some other places where bishops have told their priests, "You may not sign a religious exemption letter for the vaccine for because a lot of employers require a religious leader to sign it. Say, nope, you're not allowed to do it." How is that reaching out to your flock? I mean, here are Catholics who are following the guidance of the Catholic Church in deciding to conscientiously object from the vaccine, And these bishops are saying, nope, you cannot help them in any way. They are outside the Catholic Church. They are outside the gates. We will not minister to them. And so essentially what's happened is Catholic leaders have given into the spirit of fear, because this is what it is. It's all about fear. From day one of this virus, of this pandemic, it's been about fear, pushing fear, the media, the state, big tech, the people in charge, basically the elites. They have been pushing fear on the people, and anybody who dares to say, wait a second, maybe it's not so bad, or wait a second, maybe your response is actually worse than the virus, then they are castigated and thrown out with, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. There is no idea that you could have anything other than a panic and fear-based response. I mean, look at this title, this cover from Newsweek from, when is this? August 13th. For those who can't see, it says, the doomsday variant. COVID keeps mutating into scary new threats. How worried should we be? I mean, talk about just trying to peddle fear, the doomsday variant. And I think they're talking about the Delta variant, which is shown now to be basically something that seems to be more contagious, but not as serious, doesn't cause as serious of health problems. But yet they want to be, this is the doomsday variant. Everybody should be afraid. And it's not like they're stopping. Here's Newsweek from just yesterday on September 6th on their website. The title is The Move. COVID variant that may resist vaccines found in 49 U.S. states. That's not the new COVID variant, the MU COVID variant. That's a new variant that they're making up. It may resist vaccines in 49, and it's found in 49 U.S. states. Be afraid. Be very afraid. I mean, that's basically what we've been peddled for 18 months. We have been told to be in a constant state of fear since March of 2020. Now, here's the thing. Fear is not a medical problem. It's not a physical problem. It's a spiritual problem. I read an article on Medium that talked about this, but it was, of course, taken down, so I can't share it with you. But it made a great point that fear is a spiritual problem. It's not a physical problem. It's not a medical problem. Therefore, who should be addressing this pandemic of fear the most? It should be church leaders. It should be our bishops. It should be our priests. They should be the ones who should be telling us, be not afraid, as Pope John Paul II always said. Be not afraid, as our Lord said. Be not afraid. But instead, what they're doing is they're caving to the fear instead of speaking out against it. And you see that, of course, like I said, in the development from what the church said in 2005 to what it said in 2020. It gave into the fear. And it's not to say that the church should be saying, don't worry at all about COVID, because there are certain segments of the population that should take prudential measures in order to try to avoid getting it. That is just like any virus, frankly. But what the church really should be doing is her leaders should be standing up to the fear that's being peddled by the elites, by big tech, by the media, by the state. So how should the church respond specifically? I would say, like I said earlier, the church should be salt and light. Our Lord said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's from Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. Of course, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount that our Lord gave. So what is salt? Salt is something you add to food to give it better taste and to preserve it, to keep it from becoming rotten, back in days when you didn't have refrigerators particularly. What is light? It's something that shines in the darkness and exposes the darkness and exposes the things that are hidden in the darkness. This is what the church needs to be, is salt and light. It needs to be salt and it needs to be light, meaning what it should be doing is preserving the good, preserving the taste, which is the good part of culture. And it should be the light exposing the darkness. How many church leaders have exposed the lies that the COVID regime have been telling day after day after day? I mean, it's become a comedy at this point that the media will say one day X, and then a week later they say not X. And they don't even go back and say, oh, by the way, we were wrong last week. They just keep on saying one thing, and then they say the next something completely contrary a week later. Why haven't church leaders said, listen, sheep, you don't need to fear. You don't need to live in a state of fear because look, what they're saying isn't even true. We can't trust them in what they're saying. And so that's what the church needs to be salt and light. Now, why don't our church leaders, why don't our bishops, why don't our priests in general, why aren't they speaking against this? It's because of fear. Because they know if they do, they will be hammered by all the right people. They will be hammered in the media. I remember when Easter of 2020, a local evangelical church, which was known to be a little eccentric, to be honest, they held an Easter service. And the media just ripped them a new one. Our governor had a press conference, talked about how unchristian they were and how terrible they were for having an Easter service. How dare they celebrate the resurrection of our Lord together? Did any Catholic churches do that? No. No, they didn't. They were afraid. And they're afraid because they know they're not going to be invited to the best cocktail parties. They're not going to be accepted in the highest circles. They're not going to get the government grants that you know keeps their social services alive. Yet they continue, they just go along with the COVID regime. They're not salt and light anymore. They're tasteless and they're dark. And that's just the reality. And so what should they do? They need to speak out against fear and panic, like I said. They need to prioritize the spiritual over the physical. As our spiritual leaders, you need to prioritize the spiritual over the physical. They need to resist these dumb mandates. Just simply don't obey them. I'm willing to bet that in 95% of the cases, if a Catholic church just simply refuses to go along with a mandate, nothing will happen. Oh, yeah, there'll be a media outrage and the state will say a bunch of things, but I bet you nobody's going to jail for it. But even if they are, wouldn't that be a great witness? A bishop being hauled off the jail for putting the spiritual over the physical? Think about the witness that would give. We've already seen that Catholics are flocking to parishes where they're not imposing all these stupid mandates. If you had a bishop who actually was willing to stand up to the state and say, no, I'm not going to let you tell me how to run my church. I'm going to put the spiritual over the physical. I'm not going to be fear-based. And they got arrested for it. Think about the response that would give. That would be such a great witness to the world. And so they need to be salt and light, essentially. Now, the fact is we know that they are not they're not doing that right now. And so I really think this is another case of the age of the laity. And, you know, I'm not one who thinks that, like, the laity are like there isn't a difference between the laity and the clerical state. There is a very serious and significant difference between them. However, the fact remains that when our Lord said, you are to be salt and light of the world, he wasn't just speaking to the apostles. That was during the Sermon on the Mount. It was to all his disciples. And so we are called to be salt and the light. So what we need to do is we need to resist these stupid mandates. We need to resist the COVID regime. We need to refuse to get to accept and get an abortion-tainted vaccine. We need to help others who are fighting against the maybe employer mandates or school mandates. We need to do this. And if our church leaders won't support us, well, we can just be confident that our Lord is supporting us. And that's really what it comes down to. And so we really do need to fight against the COVID regime. We need to do everything we can to resist it. I've talked about that before. We need to continue to resist it. And just, you know, not follow the lead of our leaders, unfortunately. Instead, follow the lead of our Lord who said, be not afraid. Let's not give in to fear. Let's not worry about the next variant that's going to wipe out all of humanity, supposedly. But instead, let's live and put the spiritual over the physical. Put our spiritual well-being, the spiritual well-being of others, over any false fears that we might get sick or maybe even die. I mean, like I said, there have been people who died. But ultimately, people die all the time. I mean, I remember my wife found this stat where a 79-year-old man has like a 3.2 2% chance of dying if he gets COVID, but he has a 5% chance of dying over the next year of just anything because old people die. I mean, it's not like we want them to die, but at the same time, we can't prevent it either. That's why we want them to be raised spiritually. That's why we put the spiritual over the physical, and we don't give in to fear. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up there. I think I've talked about this enough, and I would like to promise that we won't talk about COVID and the COVID regime in the future, but I bet we will, because I don't think this is going away anytime soon. Hopefully, though, our church leaders will start to gain a backbone and start to really fight against the COVID regime that is overtaking the world. Okay, well, that's it for now. Until next time, God love you.